55. Where is he? He must be here. The scout said he was here. Can you see him? Rosa Oldsmith spoke through lips that were chapped dry by sun and wind. White flakes of skin that had come loose from the raw red patches of sunburn on her nose, and her eyes were bloodshot from the dust and the glare. She lay on her stomach behind a bank of shale and coarse grass, with the Mauser probing out in front of her. "Can you see him?" she demanded again impatiently, turning her head towards her father. Flynn grunted non-committally, holding the binoculars to his eyes, panning them slowly down the length of the valley, and then back again to the head of the strange caravan. "There is a white man there," he said. "Is it Fleischer, is it?" "No," doubtfully Flynn gave the negative. "No, I don't think so. Look for him. He must be there somewhere. I wonder what the hell those things are." Flynn concentrated on the four huge sets of wheels. The lens of the binoculars magnified the heat distortion through the still air, making them change shape and size so that one second they were insignificant, and the next they were monstrous. "Look for Fleischer! Damn those things, look for Fleischer!" Rosa snapped at him. "He's not with them." "He must be! He must be there!" Rosa rolled on her side, and reached out to snatch the binoculars from Flynn's hands. Eagerly she scanned the long column that moved slowly towards them up the valley. "He must be there! Please God, he must be there!" she whispered, her hatred through cracked, dry lips. "We will have to attack soon. They're nearly in position now." "We must find Fleischer!" Desperately Rosa searched, her knuckles showing white through sun-brown skin as she clutched the binoculars. "We can't let it go much longer. Sebastian is in position. He will be expecting my signal."
"Wait! You must wait!"
"No, we can't let them get closer." Flynn half lifted his body and called softly, "Mohammed, are you ready?"
"We are ready."
The reply came from farther down the slope, where the line of riflemen lay. "Remember my words, O thou chosen of Allah. Kill the Ashkari first, and the others will run."
"Your words ring in my eyes with the brightness and the beauty of golden bells," Mohammed replied.
"Up yours," said Flynn, and unbuttoned the pocket flap of his tunic. He fumbled out the hand mirror and held it slanted to catch the sun, deflecting a bright splinter of light towards the far slope of the valley. From the jumble of rock and brush, there was an immediate answering flash as Sebastian acknowledged the signal.
"Ah!"
Flynn breathed theatrical relief. "I was afraid our Bessie might have fallen asleep over there." And he picked up the Mauser from the rock in front of him.
"Wait," pleaded Rosa. "Please wait."
"We can't. You know we can't. If Fleischer is down there, we'll get him. If he isn't, then waiting any longer isn't going to help us."
"You don't care," she accused. "You have forgotten about Maria already."
"No," said Flynn. "No, I haven't forgotten." And he cuddled the Mauser into his shoulder. There was an Ashkari he had been watching, a big man who moved ahead of the column. Even at this range, Flynn sensed that this man was dangerous. He moved with a leopard's slouching awareness, head cocked and alert. Flynn picked him up in the notch of the rear sight and rode the pip down his body, aiming low to compensate for the downhill shot, taking him in the belly. He gathered the slack in the trigger, squeezing it up gently. The Mauser cracked viciously, and the recoil jumped back into his shoulder. Incredulously, Flynn saw the bullet throw a jump of dust from the slope below the Ashkari. A clean miss at 400 yards from a carefully aimed shot. By Christ, he was getting old. Frantically, he worked the bolt of the rifle, but already the Ashkari had ducked for cover, unslinging his rifle as he disappeared into a bank of grey thornbush, and Flynn's next shot ripped ineffectively into the coarse dry vegetation.
"Damn it to hell!"
howled Flynn. And his voice was small in the storm of gunfire that blew around him.
From both slopes all his riflemen were shooting down into the solid pack of humanity that clogged the valley floor. For startled seconds, the mass of native bearers stood quiescent under the lash of the Mausers, each man frozen in the attitude in which the attack had caught him, bent to the giant wheels, leaning forward against the ropes, panga raised to strike at a branch, or merely standing watching while others worked. Every head lifted to stare up at the slopes from which Flynn's hidden rifles menaced them. Then, with a sound like a rising wind, a single voice climbed in a wail of terror, to be lost almost instantly in the babble from a thousand throats. Without regard for Flynn's orders to single out only the armed Ashkari, his men were firing blindly into the mass of men about the wheels, bullets striking with a meaty thump, 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 or whining from rock to inflict the ghastly secondary wounds of a ricochet. Then the bearers broke, flowing back like flood water along the valley, carrying their Ashkari, whose khaki uniforms bobbed with them like driftwood in the torrent. Beside Flynn in the donga, Rosa was firing also. Her hands on the rifle, incongruously feminine, fingers long and sensitive, working the bolt as though it were the shuttle of a loom weaving death. Her eyes slitted behind the gun sight, her lips barely moving as they formed the name of what had become her battle hymn. Maria. Maria. With each shot she said it softly. As he fumbled a fresh clip of cartridges from his bandolier, Flynn glanced sideways at her. Even in this moment of hot excitement, Flynn felt the prickle of disquiet as he saw his daughter's face. There was madness in her eyes. The madness of grief, too long sustained, the madness of hatred, too carefully nourished. His rifle was loaded, and he switched his attention back to the valley. The scene had changed. From the rush of fear-crazed bearers, the German, whom Flynn had earlier watched through the binoculars, was rallying a defence. With him was the big Ashkari, the one that Flynn had missed with his first shot. These two stood to hold the guards, who had been carried away on the rush of panic-stricken bearers, stopping them, turning them back, pushing and shoving them into defensive cover around the four huge wheels. Now they were returning the fire of Flynn's men.
"Mohammed, get that man! The white man, get him!" roared Flynn, and fired twice, missing with each shot.
But his bullets passed so close that the German dodged back behind the metal shield of the nearest wheel.
"That's done it," lamented Flynn, as his hopes of quick success faded. "They're getting settled in down there. We're going to have to prise them loose."
The prospect was unattractive. Flynn had found, from experience, that while every man in his motley band was a hero when firing from ambush, and a master in the art of strategic retreat, yet their weak suit was frontal assault, or any other manoeuvre that involved exposure to the enemy. Of the 100 under his command, there were a dozen whom he could rely on to obey an order to attack. Flynn was understandably reluctant to issue such an order, for there are few situations more humiliating than bellowing, "Charge!" and then have everyone look at you with a "Who me? You must be joking" expression. Now he steeled himself to do it, aware that with every second the battle madness of his men was cooling and being replaced by sanity and caution. He filled his lungs and opened his mouth, but Rosa saved him. She rolled and lifted her knees, coming onto her feet with one fluid motion whose continuation was a cat-like leap that carried her over the shale bank and into the open. Boyish, big-hipped but graceful, the rifle across her hip, firing. Long hair streaming, long legs flying, she went down the slope.
"Rosa!" roared Flynn in consternation, and jumped up to chase her, in an ungainly, lumbering run like the charge of an old bull buffalo.
"Finny!"
shouted Mohammed, and scampered after his master.
"My goodness!" Sebastian gasped where he lay on the opposite side of the valley. "It's Rosa!
and in a completely reflex response he found himself on his feet and bounding down the rocky slope. "Akwende!" yelled the man beside him, carried away in his excitement, and before any of them had time to think, 50 of them were up and following. After the first half-dozen paces they were committed, for once they had started to run down the steep incline, they could not stop without falling flat on their faces, they could only accelerate. Down both slopes of the valley, scrabbling, sliding on loose stone, pell-mell through thorn bush, screaming, shouting, they poured down on the cluster of Ashkari around the wheels. From opposite sides, Rosa and Sebastian were first to reach the perimeter of the German position. Their momentum carried them unscathed through the first line of defenders, and then, with the empty rifle in her hands, Rosa ran chest to chest against the big Ashkari, who rose from behind a boulder to meet her. She shrieked as he caught her, and the sound exploded within Sebastian's brain in a red burst of fury. 20 yards away, Rosa struggled with the man, but she was helpless as a baby in his arms. He lifted her, changing his grip on her body, snatching her up above his head, steadying himself to hurl her down onto the pointed rock beneath which he had hidden. There was such animal power in the bunched muscles of his arms, in the thick, sweat-slimy neck, in the muscular straddled legs, that Sebastian knew that when he dashed Rosa against the rock he would kill her. Her spine, her ribs must shatter with the force of it, the soft, vital organs within her trunk must bruise or burst. Sebastian went for him. Brushing from his path, two lesser men of the bewildered defenders, clubbing the Mauser in his hands because he could not fire for fear of hitting Rosa, silently saving his breath for physical effort, he crossed the distance that separated them and reached down in the moment that the Ashkari began the first downward movement of his arms. Ah! A gusty grunt was forced upon Sebastian's throat by the force with which he swung the rifle. He used it like an axe, swinging it low, with the full weight of his body behind it. The blade of the butt hit the Ashkari across the small of his back, and within his body cavity the kidneys popped like overripe Satsuma plums. He was dying as he toppled backwards, and as he hit the ground, Rosa fell on top of him, his body cushioning her fall. Sebastian dropped the rifle and stooped to gather her in his arms, crouching over her protectively. Around them, Flynn led his men, boiling over the defenders, swamping them, knocking their rifles from their hands, and dragging them to their feet, laughing in awe of their own courageous assault, chattering in excitement and relief. Sebastian was on the point of straightening up and lifting Rosa to her feet. He glanced around quickly to assure himself that all danger was past, and his breathing jammed in his throat. 10 paces away, kneeling in the shadow of one of the huge steel wheels, was the white officer. He was a young man, swarthy for a German but with pale green eyes. The tropical white of his uniform was patchy with damp sweat stains and smeared with dust. His cap was pushed back, the gold braid on its peak sparkling with incongruous gaiety, for behind it the face was taut and angry, the mouth pulled tight by the clenched jaws. There was a Luger pistol clutched in his right hand. He lifted it and aimed. "No!" croaked Sebastian, clumsily trying to shield Rosa with his own body, but he knew the German was going to fire. "Mädchen!" cried Sebastian in his schoolboy German. "Nein, Schützen, this is ein Mädchen!" And he saw the change in the young officer's expression, the pale green glitter of his eyes softening as he responded automatically to the appeal to his chivalry. Yet still the Luger was levelled, and over it Sebastian and the officer stared at each other. All this in seconds, but the delay was enough. While the officer still hesitated, suddenly it was too late, for Flynn stood over him and pressed the muzzle of his rifle into the back of the German's neck. "Drop it, me beauty,
else I'll shoot your tonsils clean through your Adam's apple.